Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm Lisa Anderson here with you. And also to remind you that, gasp, we are 1 month away from Pursuit 2015 at this point. So that is scary, but it's also super awesome because the weather has taken an amazing turn here in Colorado. And want you to know July 9th through 11th right here at Focus on the Family's headquarters. But registration ends Monday, June 22nd. So that is an even shorter time frame. We're talking like a couple weeks for y'all to still get registered. So you want to hop over to boundless.org/pursuit. Again, boundless.org/pursuit and get registered. Grab a friend. Come on out here and make it a fun weekend in the Colorado Rockies. Well, later on in the show, we're going to have Candace here to basically give the women an FYI on how to tell guys you're not interested. That can be a very sad, hurtful situation. So hopefully this is a listener who wants to know how to do it, and Candace is going to weigh in. Then for our culture, I'm excited to have Ryan and Amanda Leak here. If you saw their YouTube video, as did about 27 million other people, you know that they got both engaged and married on the same day. Is that possible? Was it like, what is up with that? Why did that happen? And what has kind of happened since then in their story? So this is going to be a fun conversation that I have with them. But here I am with also fun individuals. I have Jenny, Glenn, and Macy here. Hey, guys.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Great to have you. We're going to be talking about, speaking of dating, and I'm not going to make any of you guys say, you know, oh, I got engaged and married on the same day. But we're going to talk about the timeline of dating and the numbers of dating, I guess. So what is, you know, we hear from people who have this idea in their head that it is most ideal to meet that one person that you're supposed to marry and then date only them, be engaged to only them, and marry only them. But there are many others who think that you should date a number of people so you truly have a smorgasbord of opportunity and that you can choose who would be the best fit for you. So we're going to just take the gloves off. Everyone here is representing a different position, a different experience. And we're going to have a fun conversation around this. So,
yeah, that first one is crazy. Let's just mark that one off.
The first one is crazy, and that's why Glenn's going to talk about it, because that's his story. I want to start out, though, by asking, back before you were dating anyone, what were your assumptions about dating and marriage? Did you have, like, a parent or someone tell you what the ideal scenario is, or did you somehow get it into your head as to, I mean, did Cinderella tell you how this was going to go down? Did, I don't know, Glenn, who would have your person been, Zorro? Or like, what with him? He just knelt by people's graves.
Yeah, I'm the geezer. This would have been in the late 70s. So it was Tonto and... No,
he did not date.
That's a good question. It wasn't that big of a thing back then.
Okay,
you know,
no one was like overanalyzing it. Like,
yeah, it was
now.
Earlier before that. I mean, it was the expectation. If you're going to become an adult, you're going to get married. In the 70s, it was like it just wasn't really talked about because, like, you know what, do whatever you want to do.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So what would you say your personal experience was growing up? What was in your head as far as how this was going to play out?
Gosh, I think that I kind of thought, this is how they taught us in youth group it was going to go. We were going to sit next to one another. Mm-hmm. We were going to like the same things. We were going to be running to Jesus. We would be looking over at the person sitting next to us. We'd grab hands, and then we'd run to the altar.
Okay.
It didn't happen like that.
Not, okay, yeah. I will tell you it did not happen for me that way either. Okay.
Yeah, so what did you guys do wrong?
So many things, yeah.
Some people were running in opposite directions from us. That's the problem.
Yeah. There was no sitting next to anyone of the opposite gender.
Uh-huh. My parents, they met in high school and got married right after college, so I kind of always assumed that's what happens. You know, you meet someone in high school and you go to the same college and get married. So I remember it's like I got farther and farther along in high school and I'm like, oh my goodness, I haven't met him yet. Like, how is this going to go? And then come to find out I did actually marry the person that I had a crush on in high school. But
okay. Well, it's not like you were in a big city either, right? Weren't you like in somewhere?
Yeah, rural Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah.
With the Amish.
There were three guys to choose from.
With the Amish. Nice.
Yeah. Well, at least the Amish kind of get out there. I mean, but maybe only within their own community. So, yeah, I guess you were shut out.
Okay. Yeah.
You picked the one guy who was not named Elijah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, so Glenn, what about your experience?
Jackie and I met in high school. And she was in the, I was in the 12th grade. She was in the 10th grade. She was 15. I was 17. And we got married right out of high school. In fact, she graduated. No, she turned 18 in July, and we got married in September. It was crazy. And we figured, you know what? You're 18. How much more of an adult can you be?
Well, apparently you figured that out in the first 10 years of marriage.
Right.
Maybe. Okay.
We did.
That's good. But there's something to be said for that, I think.
Yeah.
So, Macy, yours was a little bit different because you knew Austin in high school. But then what happened?
So, if you ask him, he says that I told him that I moved out of state and avoided him. But
But you didn't.
I didn't. It was a mess. So our friendship kind of dropped off, though, at the end of high school. And then we went to different colleges. He had a serious girlfriend all through college. And I had one boyfriend for about 3 months, probably. I broke up with him and then moved to China after college, was there. And just randomly started connecting through email, thanks to Facebook, saying that I was in China, and random conversation struck
up. So we figure that's kind of safe. You're in China. Yeah. You can at least just chat with you and not have any commitments.
Yeah.
Did you date any nice Chinese boys?
I did not, no. Okay. I wouldn't have been able to talk much more than, this is the food I want.
That would have been.
I knew how to order at a restaurant. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty impressive anyway.
Yeah. And then Jenny, how about you? Give us a little of your landscape.
Well, goodness, I guess I didn't get married until I was 39, and I didn't have my first date till I was 26. So I guess, I don't know, somehow I missed that boat in high school and college, and I don't really know how I did it, except for a serious, healthy fear that I was going to make the very absolute worst choice for my life. And I think that that was debilitating for me to even make friendships or have fun with it. So I think, and there were a lot of strong preachings in our youth group about dating and how to do that right. And I just was overwhelmed by even making any kind of a small mistake, going to coffee with the wrong one.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Too many soul ties, you know? Right. I don't know how many of you all heard about soul ties in youth group, but
isn't that like Larry Crabb? I think he has a book.
Oh, it might be. Yeah.
Ties. Yeah.
I was going to make soul ties with
way
too many
people.
We're
going to have him on the show coming up. I'll have to ask him about that. Are you single-handedly responsible for unnecessary soul ties between dating young adults?
See, the part of that, though, is crazy. I mean, just overthinking it.
Totally.
And that was so big in the church of thinking, okay, you had to get all these different angles just right before. I mean, life doesn't work that way.
But it kind of seemed to work that way for some of the people around me. I was like, oh, they're sitting next to one another. 3 months later, they're engaged. 3 more months later, they're married. So apparently it worked for some of them.
Yeah, but prior to that, in all human civilization among the Christian church, did you have just, these millennia of disasters, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we get questions from people that are should I go out with this person? Just going out with them is going to put them down some course that is not retractable. I think there really is this idea that you could actually make those kind of minor decisions and have them become monumental. That's interesting. Now, I would be interested in finding out, now looking back on the other side of your stories, because you all are married now, is there anything that, first of all, did you have any doubts or second guessing about, Macy, for example, should you really just commit to Austin from the get-go, or would it, or maybe, you thought before marrying him, I don't know, maybe I should date a few more guys just to chat, just for a comparison, for a sample, an accurate sample. I don't know, Glenn, if you would have, you were so young, you were probably, Glenn's shaking his head.
I didn't know any better. But no, for me, it was you know what? No, this is it. I can't imagine my life without her. And again, that goes back to overthinking it, you know? Just, yeah. This is her. Now, she wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. I wasn't perfect, but you know what? We were two human beings getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say when, like, that's how I felt when Austin and I started dating officially. I pretty much knew kind of like, this is it, this fits, this works. And so now looking back to high school and being like, well, I wish I could have had my mind made up by then so that both of us could have not, and then we didn't date a whole lot of people, but so that we didn't even have to walk that path. Mm-hmm. And then I think it would have been great had we not had to date other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Jenny, what about you? Like, looking back and realizing, okay, so you finally met Gene, but anything learned or any regrets from the history of dating?
I kind of wish I would have started earlier. I kind of wish that it wasn't so much thinking, that there was more freedom in that and more trying to learn how to develop friendships and just have a good time. Mm-hmm. I think, other than that, I don't think I really have any regrets. I think maybe if a few too many online profiles are out there still that I can't even remember how to get rid of. But
are you getting any interest from those?
No. Yeah. I changed my email address. I mean, that's pretty effective, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would say, though, too, while I wish that I would have had my mind made up in high school, I don't regret. Like, I don't think it's a mistake that I dated someone else, though, and don't think that's a bad thing to have done.
Mm-hmm. Well, experience is never bad. I mean, in the sense of, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
I actually kind of think that I learned a lot more about myself and what I was hopeful for, and kind of narrowed down and defined. Because also in youth group, we were given like this, we were supposed to make this list of things that we wanted in a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that through the years, that kind of got a little bit more refined as I dated other people and learned that some things weren't as important as others. And and I also got older, so that also refined things.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I realize how, and it's funny because I think to myself, here I grew up with great examples of marriages around me and, you know, had a very good script on marriage and what you should expect. But when it came to practically applying it to my life, I realized that I would just throw, I made a lot of assumptions about my own ability to be discerning, which I think ended up not being correct. And so I was, you know, and I've talked about this before, especially moving into my 30s, giving way too many chances, you know, going out dating for a length of time, guys who probably I had no business dating and stuff. So kind of looking at that and realizing, because people will make the argument of, well, you know, you should do a lot of practice dating to learn how to communicate and to learn how, you know, learn how to be, how to socialize with different personalities or whatever. And I'm kind of like, can't you just do that by like getting to know people in general? Do you really have to get your heart involved? So I'm a little bit leery of that. So it is interesting because I think, but to that point, I will say that had I married any of those guys early on, I would have been in for a world of hurt. So I think that was a very good thing in as to winnowing the list of qualifications and what's really important.
Yeah.
That was super, super helpful for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas Glenn, you more so just walked through the rough edges, you know, together and kind of had to, you know, polish and sanctify in the process of growing up, probably.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Lisa, I think another example there, which we really don't have in, you know, like classic evangelical teaching, but I've seen it within our relationship and I've seen it among friends, is one of the most significant things, one of them, is extended family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you got to look at where they came from, where the soil was, because that's going to be a huge thing in terms of what this person turns out to be, you know, later in life. And so that's just as important of making sure that you, you know, did all the dating steps just right.
Yeah, no, that's good. What do you think, I mean, as far as like evaluating the culture where it is now, and even, you know, Glenn, you're one of our, or our marriage and family researcher here at Focus, and then just experientially, Jenny and Macy, where is our culture right now that we feel, I mean, because it used to be, you know, my parents' generation, previous to that, everyone was just kind of in the same spot, you know, with values and what they really believed and where they wanted to go in life. And now it feels like you're entering some like gauntlet, you know, of you're on American Ninja Warrior or something. And if you can make it through the course, then more power to you. But, you know, what do you think is playing into all these ideas of, you know, I have to know this or I have to have sampled the entire buffet beforehand versus there's still a high courtship contingency out there, too. That's just like, bam, you should be able to pick and get it done. I mean, where are those attitudes coming from?
I'm not really sure exactly overall for the whole culture, but I think my dad was pretty emphatic with me that he didn't want me to go to a Christian college because he didn't want me to go there to get my MRS degree. I did maybe bring that up a few times after I had my regular Bachelor of Arts degree and no MRS degree for like 20 years. So I do kind of think that my dad's experiences with his friends in his little community who went to Bible college and then got divorced later really impacted his thinking on what he was going to let his kids do and how he was going to direct them. And I'm the oldest, so I got to be practiced on for that. So I think for me, that was, I don't know if that's really true across the culture, but that's kind of what happened, I think, in our family.
Yeah, I would agree. My parents got divorced, and so I remember just when my dad remarried, a lot of what he said was like, yo, you know, take your time, kind of that idea of like, date around, you're not sure if this is the one, and it's more him saying like, well, I wasn't sure, so you might not be sure. So I think just the culture of divorce has really shaped the dating atmosphere of not being like not wanting to have to get divorced. And so then it's like, well, that fear of choosing the wrong person.
Right.
I make it easy for my daughters. I have four daughters and I'll just say, I'll let you know when the right one comes along. That'll just make it easy. But no, I think in the general culture, they are completely scriptless. There is just no script whatsoever. Ironically or curiously, in the evangelical community, we have these crazy competing scripts, and they are very detailed, and, you know, we can tend to think, I mean, like we've said here, if we mess up on them in any way, then, oh my goodness, you know, we're just jettisoned out in space, free of God's, you know, will and knowledge, and, you know, you think about, you know, this just hit me, read biographies of Billy and Ruth Graham. Think about how they met one another. You know, the you know, other people like that in relatively recent history, and see how they did it. I mean, we know here Dr. Dobson and Shirley, you know, how did they do it? And it's like they didn't overthink it. They did it in a very godly way, but it was, they went by a script, but it wasn't this kind of nailed down point by point kind of script. And again, if you miss it, then, you know, God says you're on your own. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, because you mentioned your daughters, I would love to know what your vision for them is. I mean, knowing the way that you did it, do they have the expectation that they're going to do it the same way? Or, and how do you reconcile yourself to that?
Well, it's interesting because we have boy and girl twins. They just graduated from high school, and they're 18. And I'm like, man, we got married when we were 18. It's like, no way. And then our oldest daughter is 21, and they are just focused on what they want to do. And it's, you know, our 21-year-old daughter, she wants to go into ministry, and she would love to get married, but it's like, here's where I'm going. And, you know, she's like, you know,
she's got to look for that person on the pony next to
her,
I guess.
But, you know, she, I think she's got a very healthy view in the sense of, you know what, that'll happen. And I'm not looking for that guy, but nor am I closed off either. She wants to go out and live her life, and that's probably where she'll find her, you know, her, her husband. And, you know, the Sophie, the 18-year-old, she's the same way. But they also want to do it in line with us as well. Like, you know, we have something to say. I have something to say as the father about what I think is a good man or what is not a good man.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's a, I'll hear often from 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who think that they're just ancient history. You know, they're like, they'll come up to me in tears. I haven't met anyone. I haven't dated seriously. I'm not married yet. And I just feel like saying, ah, honey, literally, like, here's my story. And, you know, so I think there's a little bit of angst related to that. But at the same time, I don't want people to get overly. I mean, my story was like, of course I'm going to get married someday. And now I look back and I'm like, okay, so I didn't. So, you know, always, you know, keeping marriage in mind and walking out there as well and saying, yeah, I'm definitely open to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. So, well, you guys, thank you very much. We hardly even scratched the surface on this conversation, but good thoughts. Of course, all of y'all out there, we'd love to hear what your experience has been or what your assumptions are about dating and the path and the numbers game as it plays out. With dating and marrying that one person that you meet or, you know, dating many people. So hop over to the blog and let us know what you think on that. But thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.